Mayor DeSmith.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? All right, praise God. Now, if you were someone important, someone who is honored in our country, and let's say you're loaded with money and able to enjoy everything this life has to offer, do you think that you would voluntarily throw all of that away, knowing that you would suffer as a poor, disgraced nobody? I suspect not many of us would make that choice. Yet in the Bible, there is a person who did exactly that. Who am I speaking of? Of course, I'm speaking of Moses. Now, just so you know, a little birdie told me after the last time, he speaks about Moses a lot. Well, I started thinking it is true. It's all I've spoken about for the whole last year, at least. Of course, that's only like four messages, so you know. But nevertheless, we are talking about Moses this morning. Moses gave up everything in this world, and in exchange, he got nothing of this world. Why would he do such a thing? The passage we will look at today answers that question. Please open your Bibles to, not Exodus, but Hebrews 11, verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Now, as I say Hebrews 11, those of you who know your Bibles know that that is the Hall of Faith, the famous chapter in the Bible. In the Hall of Faith, God gives us many examples of people from the Old Testament who demonstrated genuine faith in their lives. In this chapter, we see that Abel showed his faith by offering a better sacrifice than Cain. Enoch showed his faith by his unique devotion to God. Noah trusted God by building an ark. Abraham by acting upon God's promises to him. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph likewise. And that brings us to Moses. We see that Moses showed his faith by the decisions that he made throughout his life. Please follow along as I read verse 24. Verse 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. You know, life is full of decisions. In fact, from one perspective, life is one decision after another. Of course, most decisions, in fact, by far the vast majority of our decisions, are ones that don't make a whole lot of difference in our lives. Yet each day, we make choices that reveal what kind of person we are. Perhaps your home has these challenging words of Joshua somewhere hanging in them. It says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve, that was weak. As for me and my house, we will serve, Lord. That's better, amen. And you probably do have that hanging in your house somewhere, I'm guessing. Well, Moses chose to serve the Lord. Throughout his life, he showed the genuineness of his faith by the decisions he made. As we examine Moses' faith today, we'll see that it is like a diamond with many sides to it. Now I'm speaking Alan Beck's language here. Like a diamond with many sides to it. And the first side we're going to look at today is Moses' status in life. Let's look at verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let me say that again. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you don't get much more important than being a prince in the most powerful nation on earth. But here we see that Moses rejected that privileged position. I think it is worth noting that Moses didn't have to do anything to be famous. He already was famous. From the day Pharaoh's daughter adopted him, he was royalty. And royalty back then meant a lot more than it does today. In fact, you see these things about the English royalty in the, you know, in the grocery store aisle, and I just look at that and I just say, does anybody really care about that? I mean, really, I think that stopped caring in like 1776, if I remember correctly, as far as Americans go. Well, along with royalty in Egypt came incredible power, prestige, honor, and privilege. Moses would have had it all. And when Moses became a man, he was faced with a big choice. He had to choose whether to keep his royal position or give it up to be with his biological family, who were lowly Israelite slaves. And the decision Moses made changed his life forever. Today, scattered around the Egyptian desert are a bunch of pyramids built in honor of their ancient leaders. But there's no pyramid or any other memorial in honor of Moses. Moses gave that up when he renounced his position as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses accepted God's calling upon his life. Acts chapter 7, interestingly, indicates that Moses knew God had called him to deliver his people when he killed the Egyptian for beating one of his fellow Hebrews. There, Stephen says that Moses supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. And then it goes on to say, but they did not understand. As far as we can tell, it was on this occasion that Moses acted upon his decision. Moses sided with this Hebrew slave and burned his bridges to Egypt. Back in the late 1800s, an Englishman named Charles Studd was born into wealth, also known as C.T. Studd, for those of you who are familiar. As an adult, he became a famous cricket player. He was a bit like a pro athlete today, having more money than he knew what to do with and getting to play a game that he loved. After graduating from Cambridge University, one of his brothers became seriously ill. That event confronted Charles with a question. What is all the flame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity? Sobered by that question, Charles realized that cricket would not last, and honor would not last, and nothing in this world would last. But it was worthwhile living for the life to come. And so Charles did the unthinkable. He quit playing cricket, and he gave away all of his money to Christian organizations and became a missionary to China. Truly remarkable. In relation to that decision, he said, how could I spend the best years of my life in living for the honors of the world when thousands are perishing every day? Well, God calls us as Christians to make the same choice. If we are going to be real Christians, we must give up our desire for the world's praise. We must concern ourselves with pleasing God and not the world. The second area Moses showed his faith, we could say the second side of the diamond, was with respect to pleasures. Look at verse 25. Verse 25. It says, Moses chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Moses rejected the pleasures of this world. Keep in mind that he had every opportunity to enjoy sinful living. Ancient Egypt was a luxurious country with every form of vice and wickedness that we have today. As a prince, Moses would have had pleasures available to him that weren't available to everyone. The Apostle John warns us not to love the world because this world is a passing away, whereas the one who does God's will lives forever. Moses chose to do God's will and accomplish what God was calling for him and endure ill treatment with God's people. Now, if you're going to make a choice like that, you will pay a price. The old hymn writer asks, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word." Ask yourself, are you willing to give up this world's pleasures to follow God in your life? The third area Moses showed his faith was that of treasures. Let's read verse 26. Verse 26. It says that Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Here we see that Moses rejected the treasures of this world. Egypt in Moses' day was an incredibly rich country. In our museums today, there are a boatload of its treasures, and we only have a small portion of what was there at that time. So we know that Egypt was full of precious, valuable stuff, and Moses had pretty much anything that he wanted. So from a human viewpoint, Moses was crazy. Moses chose to go from enjoying everything, all the luxury and creature comforts of the most powerful nation on earth, to being mistreated with a bunch of Israelite slaves. Who in their right mind would make such a decision? What could possibly motivate someone to do that? Well, this verse mentions two reasons why Moses did it. And actually there, you could say part one and part two. So it's kind of like two reasons, but it's one and two parts. Reason number one, Moses did it for the sake of Christ. Before Moses made his decision, he counted the cost. God wanted him to give everything up for his sake, so he could fulfill his destiny to be the deliverer God had called him to be. Instead of enjoying an easy life, Moses decided it was more valuable to do God's will. And then here's part two, or reason two. Moses was looking ahead to his reward. Think about it. When did Moses get to enjoy a reward here on earth? Answer? He didn't. Exactly. Think about it. From the moment he decided to embrace God's will for him to deliver Israel, for the rest of his life, all he knew was hardship and difficulty. First, think about this. His first job, job number one, to go and confront the most powerful man on earth and make threatening statements to him. That sounds like fun, right? After that, he got to lead a bunch of ornery Israelites through the desert for 40 years. At times they wanted to stone him, remember? Right, not an easy job. Then, on one occasion, think about this, Moses lost his temper and hit the rock instead of speaking to it. And because of this disobedience, he wasn't even allowed to enter his reward of leading the people into the promised land. So Moses' reward was not here on earth. It was in heaven. Now here's something really exciting. We're going to look at a verse. Turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. This is one of my favorite accounts in the Bible. It is the transfiguration of Jesus. A truly spectacular account. It's in more than one gospel. But I use this one because it has it very short and succinct for us. The middle of verse 28 says, Jesus took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. In other words, it was showing him in his glorious appearance. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So, to get an idea of just how important Moses is, and special to Jesus, out of all the people from the Old Testament, only two were allowed to see Jesus at his transfiguration. Not Abraham, not David, not Samuel, not Zechariah, not King Hezekiah, only Moses and Elijah. And did you notice how this passage describes them? It says they were appearing in glory. Another translation has they were appearing in glorious splendor. In other words, they too were showing themselves as being glorified, which is really spectacular. Yes, Moses never got to enjoy his reward here on earth. But now Moses is enjoying his reward in heaven with Jesus. What a contrast. On the one hand, there's the pharaohs, who meticulously planned ahead of time what items they wanted to put in their pyramid tombs with them. All kinds of treasures and different things were put in there. They even picked their favorite food items to put in those pyramids. Their idea is that they wanted to live with the same level of comfort in the afterlife that they had lived here on earth. Yet, they didn't enjoy those things at all. Once they died, that was it. All of their stuff sat there for looters to steal and archaeologists to dig up and put in some museum. And then there's Moses. He died with nothing. He laid up his treasure in heaven instead. And now he's enjoying those treasures, and will enjoy those forever. Why did Moses say no to the world's honor? Because God's call was a greater honor. Why did Moses say no to the world's pleasure? Because real satisfaction is found in doing God's will. Why did Moses say no to the world's treasure? Because God had a greater reward in heaven. Back in the 1950s, Jim Elliot and some other missionaries went to Ecuador and began to make contact with the Aka Indians in the jungle. When they finally got to the point of meeting them, the Indians felt threatened and murdered them all. Now, some in our society would say that Jim Elliot was a fool, that he was a failure who wasted his life. Yet a few years later, Jim's wife and others returned to that very area and were able to lead those very Indians to Christ. And the story of Jim Elliot and his fellow missionaries has inspired a vast army of men and women to become missionaries. I've met several people who said that this is the story that inspired them. Today, Jim Elliot is often quoted for these words he wrote in his journal. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let me say it once again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Pretty profound. And that brings us to a fourth side of the diamond, a fourth area that Moses showed his faith. That is the things he chose to focus on. Look at verse 27. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Moses chose to not focus on the things he could see. That is, the visible things of this world. And what were those? Well, the things that Moses could see were all in Egypt. For the first 40 years of his life, the only home Moses knew was in Egypt. If we could transport ourselves back to Moses' time, he could give us a guided tour and show us all his old haunts. He could show us where he went to school, where he hung out with his friends, where he played games. Then he could tell us about what it was like to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could go into great detail about her and tell us all about her family. Can you imagine how difficult it was for Moses to leave his Egyptian mother? And then think about this. She is the one who raised him as her own son. If it hadn't been for her taking pity on him, he would have been killed as a baby. Well, all these things were things that Moses could see. But God called Moses to leave all of it. He had to make a choice. Should he stick with the things he already had, which he could see? Or should he obey God and give it all up for what God had for him? Well, Moses knew that the things he was so familiar with were all temporary. But the things God had for him were eternal. The Apostle Paul says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Moses chose to fix his eyes on what he could not see. He decided to focus on what was eternal. Likewise, God wants us to get our eyes off the things we can see and focus on the eternal things he has for us. What are you focusing on today? The things that you can see, the here and now, or the things that you cannot see, the things God has for you? This verse also tells us about something, or better, someone else that Moses could see, and that was Pharaoh, who I'm sure struck an imposing presence. Now, although Moses fled Pharaoh's death sentence 40 years later, God gave Moses the courage to confront Pharaoh to his face. And of course, Moses knew how powerful Pharaoh was, the most powerful ruler on earth at the time. And there was Moses standing in front of him saying, think about this, saying, you better let my people go or else bad things are going to happen to you. It's something you just don't do if you want to live, right? And then what happened? Plague after plague ravaged Egypt, making Pharaoh more and more enraged. And by the time the last plague rolled around, what did Pharaoh do? He yelled at Moses. He says, get away from me. Beware. Do not see my face again. For in the day you see my face, you shall die. How did Moses respond? You are right. I shall never see your face again. How could Moses do that? How could he stand up to Pharaoh like that? Well, I know how he could do it. He was not focusing on Pharaoh. He was focused on a king who was infinitely more powerful than Pharaoh, the king he could not see, the king of the universe, God. He was more concerned about obeying the king of kings than he was about the puny king of Egypt. What about you today? Are you concerned about what people will say or think if you obey God in your life? Or are you concerned about what God says? Who is your focus on? We come to a fifth area. The fifth area Moses revealed his faith was his obedience. Verse 28. It says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. This verse tells us that Moses showed his faith by his choice to obey God. God told Moses to keep the Passover and gave him instructions on how to keep it. And what did Moses do? He obeyed to the letter. Then God told Moses that he is to have every household take the blood of the lamb, apply it to the top and sides of the door frame of each house. What did Moses do? He obeyed to the letter. Obedience is how people can tell that we are the real deal, that we are genuine. Real Christians obey God. Their lives are characterized by obedience. And where are you at? Do the non-Christians in your life know that you claim to be a Christian and take it seriously? I trust they do. That brings us to one last area, the last side of the diamond. And that is by how Moses responded to crisis. Verse 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by what he does when he goes through a crisis. At first glance, this verse seems like it's talking about the faith of the Israelites. Let's read the story and see, let's think about the story, I should say, and think about whether that's true or not. Well, you know the story. There they are, the Israelites, their backs are up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh's chariots are coming down the road and they're kicking up dust all over the place and they pin them up against the Red Sea. Did they have faith? Anyone? Anyone? Come on, Bible scholars, I know you know this. Did they have faith? What did they say? Here's what it says. The Israelites became very frightened. So they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt saying, leave us alone to serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Now that's faith, right? Wow, I'm very impressed with that. Well, it doesn't sound like faith very much to me. On the other hand, what did Moses do? You've all seen the Moses movie, right? That great epic moment. He says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the salvation the Lord will bring you today. Is that faith? That's faith. Yes, it is. The genuineness of Moses' faith shined during that time of crisis, and it inspired faith in the Israelites to cross the Red Sea when God parted it. When a crisis arises in your life, what does it reveal about you? How do you handle it? Does your faith stand firm, or does it quake in fear like the Israelites? As I said at the beginning, the faith of Moses is like a diamond. You can tell it was genuine by looking at it from many different angles. When you look at his status, you see that he gave up his honored position for God. When you look at his pleasures, you see that he found joy in doing God's will. When you look at his treasures, you discover that he laid them up in heaven. When you look at his focus, you see that it was on God and the things that are invisible. When you look at his obedience, it is clear that he followed God's instructions. And when you look at how he responded in crisis, there is Moses standing like a rock. This is what a person of faith looks like. I wonder, if someone were to examine my faith or yours, would they find it to be a smooth, sparkling diamond? Or would it look more like a diamond in the rough? I fear I'm probably closer to the diamond in the rough. How about you? What edges are there that God needs to cut off for your faith to be like Moses? Perhaps, think about this, maybe someone would examine you and they would discover that it's not a diamond at all. It's one of those terrible cubic zirconias. Remember those things? Like a fake diamond? You don't want to get stuck with that, do you, ladies? No, you don't. Well, that would mean that you didn't have faith at all. That you don't have faith in Jesus. Well, today, if you realize that you do not have a true faith in Jesus, I invite you to come forward after we're done. I'll be happy to stay right up here. And I'll be happy to show you in God's word how you can have that type of faith and know for sure that you have eternity in heaven. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, As we have seen in our previous messages, Moses had many faults, many mistakes that he made. He often did the wrong thing. He came up short many times. And Lord, we certainly do not glorify him. We look at his faith, however, and we see that it was genuine. And Lord, we pray that you would work in our hearts and our lives that we might also have a genuine faith like his. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.